Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, graduation mass, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Good evening. My name is James Capps, and on behalf of the Catholic community and the graduating class of 2016, I welcome you to Stanford. Parents, families, and special guests, thank you for joining us this evening to celebrate the Mass as my fellow classmates and I prepare for graduation. I think I speak for the rest of my classmates when I say that we have been very blessed to have such a unique Catholic presence here at Stanford. We must first and foremost recognize the joyous and unrelenting commitment of the Dominicans who grace our campus and serve our parish and community, particularly Father Xavier and Father Emmanuel, our current pastors, as well as Father Nathan, Father Daniel, and Father Isaiah. We recognize the hours of selfless dedication by the one and only Lourdes Alonso, our campus minister, and the hard work put in by Teresa Plines, Nancy Greenfield, Deacon John Kerrigan, and all the others who keep this community running behind the scenes. Thank you, parents and families, through whom we have received not only the support and encouragement to survive these 4 years at Stanford, but also the Catholic faith and upbringing that we treasure so much. And finally, I would like to thank the students with whom I have worked, studied, laughed, prayed, relaxed, pranked, in short, with whom I have shared so many memorable adventures. Whether we were staying up into the early watches of the night to watch the canonization of Pope St. John Paul II, or engaging in fierce games of mafia on retreat, you truly taught me the meaning of community and were for me a home away from home. The Catholic community has made it easy for me to practice my faith through daily Mass, rosary and adoration, Bible studies, prayer groups, leadership teams, retreats, soup kitchen outings, and fellowship events. In participating in these activities, I have formed some of my most cherished friendships at Stanford, friendships that will last a lifetime. 4 years is far too short a time to live among such excellent and admirable people. I don't know half of you half as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve. Nevertheless, you have all helped to prepare me for the next stage in life's journey. It is a rather cliche term, journey, yet it encapsulates a basic truth. Yes, we are journeying beyond college, whether to grad school, to a new job, to a new city, or something in between. But more importantly, we as Christians are making a spiritual journey with our eyes set on heaven. And while family, friends, and mentors may come and go along the way, Jesus will be with us constantly, leading us with a firm hand. It is for this purpose that he has given his very self in the Eucharist to strengthen us with daily bread as we strive with faith toward heaven. It is all the more fitting, then, that we should celebrate our graduation to the next stage of our earthly and spiritual journeys in union with the sacrifice of the Mass. Let us therefore prepare to receive the body and blood of Christ, being mindful of and grateful for our spiritual growth these past 4 years, and strengthening our resolve to continue to live as examples of Christ to the world.
Have you ever wondered, how did that woman get in there? Do notorious women enter your home, wash your guests' feet with their tears, and dry them with your hair, with her hair? How would you explain that to your family? You know, some meals in the ancient Middle East were held in order to be seen. They literally left the doors open so people could come in and watch. They lined the walls while the host and his guests were reclining on couches around a U-shaped table. That sounds deliciously decadent, doesn't it? These meals were for show and status. So Simon the Pharisee scored a social coup by inviting Jesus, and the town can see it. He invited this crowd-pleasing rabbi while withholding the courtesy due to an equal. He did not place his hand on Jesus' shoulder and kiss him. He offered no water to wash and refresh Jesus' dusty feet. No dab of oil, olive oil, touched Jesus' forehead. He treated Jesus as a social curiosity for the town to see. Jesus was only a trophy for his ego. But now things went terribly wrong. She came in. She wasn't supposed to be there. It's bad enough that she was a woman. She was a woman carrying a reputation. Imagine the host stiffening, his guests stunned silence, every eye fixed on this sobbing scandal. She was actually sexually immodest by letting down her hair, caressing and kissing his feet, washing them with her tears and drying them with her hair. Let me tell you, news would have spread faster than Twitter. And Simon, what did he think? Jesus is a fraud. If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is, the whore. Now, this is the irony of the story. Jesus really, really did see. He saw into the heart of this woman, and he saw Simon's empty heart. Yes, we're all wounded at our core. You see it in the way we grab and grasp, and the rights we claim, and the responsibilities we shed, in the innuendos we make, and the harshness we can sometimes harbor. All are broken. But she was really guilty. People say, hate the sin and love the sinner. Well, you're right. Augustine was right. But too often, that's an excuse to hate both. So Jesus wants to awaken Simon's heart. He wants to awaken our hearts. Simon, do you see this woman? Do you really, really see this woman? Or do you just see her sin? Simon, do you see her? Martin Luther explained this gospel. It was the sin of the flesh Jesus forgave, a sin of the spirit he condemned. Jesus forgave the woman's sin, but rebuked Simon's blindness. Simon, do you really see this woman? As individuals, as nations, as priests, Jesus still asks us, do you see this woman? Or just another violated moral law? I don't know about you, but I know it's really easy to see the label and not see the person. Many years ago, when I was a Christian brother, I met an incredible brother from Australia. He worked among the down and outs. Prostitutes and pimps, drug dealers and drug addicts, transvestites and flaming queens. And he would look them straight in the eye. He looked with God's gaze that said, God loves you. He had a wonderful way of looking at people, of looking at my students, at looking at me. He cared with every fiber of his being. After class, I wondered if he was really real. I honestly wondered if he wasn't Jesus come again in disguise. He freaked people out. He really freaked out his superiors and his bishop. How many people feel the church's gaze, your gaze, my gaze, is just another judgment? Proof that God really doesn't care at all. Jesus looked at this woman differently. He looked at her with a love and a respect that took away her brokenness and healed her heart. She saw God's love in Jesus' eyes. Do you know that there's a healing power in each one of you? If you look at each other, at others with Jesus' eyes, if the respect is deep and the love in here is real, your look becomes an invitation to healing. Be Jesus' blessing. But it has to begin with you. Let Jesus really see you. Decide to accept his forgiveness and love. The British writer Aldous Huxley wrote, "Chronic remorse is a most undesirable sentiment. If you behave badly, repent. Make what amends you can, and address yourself to the task of behaving better the next time. On no account brood over your wrongdoing. Rolling in the muck is not the best way of getting clean." We might say rolling the muck of guilt instead of trusting, really going to the Lord, trusting his forgiveness, his sacraments, is not the best way of getting clean. You got to give it to the Lord. Now, Simon the Pharisee was not a bad man. Just seems she was a better woman. She knew her need. She knew her need and dealt with it. She opened herself to the Lord. She let Jesus heal her. Simon, on the other hand, didn't truly see himself, Jesus, or the woman. Simon built a wall of self-sufficiency, self-assurance, and self-righteousness. God doesn't build walls. He builds bridges. Won't you let Jesus look at you and build a bridge of love, of grace? Won't you decide to look at others and build bridges of friendship? There is a graced power in you if you do. You have something to share and offer, that faith. So when I taught high school, I quickly learned that students lived up or down to your expectations. If you really thought them talented, it was amazing how much better they did. And if you thought little of them, they did not disappoint you by doing less. You know, every one of us needs someone to look at us with the eyes of awakening possibilities. Look at people with God's eyes. Search for the good. Praise it. Thank it. Unleash it by pointing it out. You're on a mission from God to unleash the goodness in others. Graduates, you leave Stanford incredibly gifted and blessed. But you also have God's power in you. Use it and be different. Look at others with God's own love. More and more we need people who call forth other people's neglected goodness. Our country too readily gives itself over to anger and prejudice. It too readily wants to get back and get even. God doesn't build walls, he builds bridges. So I invite you all, be God's bridge builders. Be God's good news to everyone you meet.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lourdes Alonzo. I'm campus minister here with the Catholic community, and it's been my pleasure to serve all of you wonderful graduates and your families. It's great to meet you where you all came from. It's just lovely. I'm so thankful to all of you for your for loaning us your children and letting them be a gift to all of us. So I have the pleasure of introducing one of this year's recipients, of the Father Tierney Award for Outstanding Service to the Catholic Community. I want to invite him up here as I speak about him. His name is Max Rademacher. He's hiding behind the pillar there. Max, can you come forward? Come on up. I know how you like to be in front of crowds. If you know Max, you know he's a huge fan of country music legend Garth Brooks and 80s pop rocker Richard Marx. So we all know the 80s is the best decade for music, right? Max isn't the guy with friends in low places. That's because he makes it a point to uplift and support everyone around him. He exemplifies leadership through service, especially during our 10 p.m. Mass. So whether he's stirring up gallons of hot chocolate or making sure that everybody gets happy donuts, he just makes us all happy. Max is that guy. So Max, thank you. Thank you for the service that you've given to this community, for your time and dedication to this ministry. It's made it a joy to work alongside you. You can bet that wherever you go, whatever you do, we will be right here waiting to hear the news of the success of your life. Thank you.
This is kind of a unique reward. Never in our history, as far as I know, have we ever given the same person a award twice in a row. And that's because Matt Gonzalez has simply, in his co-term year, has simply been outstanding, especially in interfaith work, trying to get for mutual growth and understanding between the various religious traditions on this campus. He's also done an incredible amount of hard work in organizing our 10 p.m. Mass Sunday after Sunday. So in thanksgiving for an incredible job, Matt Gonzalez.
Over the years here as guider of the liturgical ship, we've been blessed by many, many students who've given time and effort into making our liturgies and our liturgical life very rich. Most of them have not gone in their undergraduate years and then come back in their graduate years. So I'd like to call up Chris Candelaria. Chris, you can go way up there. Chris took a little break and worked for the Fed and hated it, and then came back to school, and we were really happy. I would talk about students like him as dropping out of heaven. And he's led our, he played for hundreds of masses here in his time. As an undergraduate, he played almost weekly, and then he came back to lead our 10 p.m. community and to share the beauty and the gift of music and art that is such a dearth in our world today, such a need. And so Chris is off to Vanderbilt with his wife Lisa and daughter Caitlin, and their, our loss is their gain. And could I call up a non-student, actually, Valerie McGuire? Valerie likes to be in front of people, too. Actually, Valerie personifies quiet service. Valerie is pretty unflappable, and everything that she does makes other people look good. She sets up Mass, she counts our money, she MCs our large liturgies, she chairs our finance board. None of these things are glamorous jobs, but Valerie is the person that I think of as Jesus walking in our midst, who makes everyone else shine. And we are eternally grateful for that, Valerie. And I know that you will continue to be a part of this community. Fortunately, you're not going to Vanderbilt, so we'll have you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Now let's have the graduates up here. I hate to spoil Stanford's reputation, but it's really good to know there are student saints here. So we invite you all to stand and extend your hands in blessing. Heavenly Father, we ask for your almighty hand to be upon all those who graduate today. Bless their lives from this day on with goodness and love. Grace them with your Holy Spirit. Help them to stay true to their dreams, to use their gifts wisely, to walk into the future with faith, hope, and great love. And we ask you to bless them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A little round of applause here.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.